Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It is time to ask the doctors. Earlier today, Dr. Anthony Fauci testified before a U.S. Senate committee on the nation's COVID-19 response.
Right now, we are doing studies to determine whether or not we will need boosters to increase the durability of protection. We don't want people to believe that when you're talking about boosters, that means that the vaccines are not effective. They are highly effective. We're talking about the durability of that.
So no boosters for now. The Delta variant now constitutes more than 80% of new cases, new mask mandates out in Los Angeles, an uptick in cases here at home with a seeming breakthrough hotspot in Provincetown. But deaths remain low, and that's important. And Boston University is mandating a vaccine for faculty, staff, and students. And we should note that Boston University holds the license for WBUR. Lots to think about. We have questions. We know you do, too. So the number, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. With us this week, Dr. Davidson Hamer, infectious diseases physician at Boston Medical Center and a professor of infectious diseases and medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. And Dr. Gabriela Andujar-Vazquez, an infectious disease physician, associate hospital epidemiologist and medical director of the COVID-19 vaccination program at Tufts Medical Center. Dr. Hamer, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
And Dr. Andujar-Vazquez, welcome back to you too.
Thank you.
So actually, I'm going to turn to you, Dr. Andujar-Vazquez, for your reactions right at the top to the uptick in cases in Massachusetts. We've got a high vaccination rate, but our positivity test rate is now back above 1%. What's your reaction to that?
Right. I think it's important to know, and I think you mentioned this, that we did have, unfortunately, increasing in cases in P-Town, but and some of them, it seems most of them had been fully vaccinated individuals. But to my knowledge, it seems that a lot of these cases have been mild to asymptomatic, which means that the vaccine is working. Even though we had this unfortunate outbreak there, you know, it seems that we're still able to control some of it by having some of the individuals in that area vaccinated and not being severely ill.
And Dr. Hamer, how about you? Are you concerned? And if not, what would be a cause for concern?
I'm increasingly concerned. I mean, I think, you know, as you said, that Delta, I guess, across the country accounts for about 80% of positive samples right now. And Delta is much more contagious. And increasingly, I'm hearing about Delta leading to a much higher viral load in the sort of nasopharynx, and that could facilitate transmission and lead to vaccine breakthroughs. As Dr. Andujar-Vazquez said, you know, we haven't yet seen an increase in hospitalizations and certainly not deaths. Those are good signs, and that may be hopefully a protective effect because we have a good level of vaccine coverage in the Commonwealth.
So there's like 10 thoughts crashing into my head at once, because we are in this moment, and it picks up on both of what the things you both just said. We are supposed to be at a point where if we have lots of people vaccinated, we are protected against the worst of things. And we are supposed to be able to manage sort of everyday life with some basic precautions. It feels like the conversation right now is more afraid than that the messaging is maybe that's not the case. And yet we also know breakthrough cases at the Commonwealth level are 0.1%. We know there are battles back and forth about whether mask wearing is necessary. So are we over messaging the danger of Delta for those who are vaccinated? Or am I wrong to even ask that question? I mean, this feels kind of like a mess, Dr. Andujar-Vazquez.
I think that it's hard to predict with this virus, and whoever thinks that they know everything about this virus, you're welcome. I would never dare to say that. I think that as of now, fully vaccinated individuals seem to be very well protected against the Delta variant, and even if they, after fully being vaccinated, do get infected, they seem to be the majority do okay, which is important, I guess, in order to curb the surge of this Delta variant, as Dr. Hamer pointed out, that it's more virulent and easier to propagate, right? So I think that we still have to keep on saying the message that we do need to continue to vaccinate individuals that are eligible in order to try to control this particular variant that it's now basically 80% or more of the nation.
1-800-423-8255 to ask your coronavirus questions. I will go to the phones in just a minute. We do have callers in. But Dr. Hamer, I want to get your reaction to the same sort of garbled question that I asked a minute ago about how messy the situation we are in right now is and what the public health messaging ought to be.
I think it's a challenging time. We're still learning about Delta, and it does appear that the vaccines, the three vaccines we have in the U.S. are active against it based on sort of, studies of antibodies and how well they control it, and then some population-based effectiveness studies. But that said, this is a much more contagious strain, and the way it's starting to ravage certain parts of the world, mostly unvaccinated, and then even hitting hard places that have had a pretty good level of vaccination, although generally the sectors that are being hit hard are populations that have not had the vaccine at all or incomplete vaccination. I think we need to keep a close eye on it. I mean, the fact that the state, the numbers across the state have been, the average for the last week has increased relative to weeks before that. The proportion positive has increased, not a lot yet, but we need to keep a close eye on this because it may require our being more intensive with our control and prevention measures.
All right, let's go to the phones again. 800-423-8255 to ask your questions of Drs. Hamer and Andujar Vazquez. We've got Paul on the line in Marshfield. Paul, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm a fully vaccinated. Thank you for your time, doctors. I'm a fully vaccinated person, and I got the Johnson & Johnson in April. So I understand the things. So how should I act as a fully vaccinated person? Should I wear a mask like when I go in the supermarket or if a place or avoid places that are crowded? The other part of that question is, if there are boosters in the future, can I get an mRNA like a Pfizer or something like that?
Okay, Dr. Andujar Vazquez, what can you do for Paul?
Sure, Paul. So I think that to answer the first part of your question is that people that are fully vaccinated, because the vaccine is very effective against all variants, including Delta variant, you should be following the CDC and state guidelines, which is that you don't need to wear a mask indoors if you're fully vaccinated. Now, again, we go back to the level of comfort of each individual, and if it makes you feel safer to wear that mask when you go to the grocery store, it is okay. It's not harmful, right? So, I always encourage people that when in doubt and if it makes you feel anxious, you can wear that mask, but that fully vaccinated patients should feel protected. To the second part of your question, which was, remind me, Tiana, what was the second part?
An mRNA booster a J&J shot.
Sure. I think that we don't have enough data on interchangeability, what we call interchangeability on COVID-19 vaccine. It seems to be okay, safe based on studies that have been done outside the U.S. But if there were to be a booster, I can imagine that it will be around the same vaccine type that you had initially. That's what I predict it would happen. But it's hard to tell now because right now we don't need a booster. We're protected if we're fully vaccinated.
All right, let's grab another call. 800-423-8255. We have Amanda on the line in Westboro. Amanda.
Hi, doctors. I want to start by saying thank you. I drive home from work every day at this time, and it's always helpful to hear these conversations, so thank you. My question is about the sensitivity of PCR tests. I'm wondering if one of you could speak to the possibility that breakthroughs are showing, but that breakthroughs are showing it's positive, but it's a matter of the PCR test being so incredibly sensitive to minute particles from the virus. That's my statement of it, but if you could speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Dr. Hamer, do you understand the question?
Yes, I think. So thanks, Amanda. Important question. I think that the PCR that we use to test samples from the nasopharynx and other parts of the body, but primarily from the nose, are very sensitive. And most labs have a cutoff point that they consider if it's you know at that level or below, because they use what's called cycle threshold, then they consider it a positive. And if it's sort of on the high side, just barely positive, then there it may be. The question is it transmissible? Is it live virus? I mean, there's a lot of questions about sort of how meaningful that is. What I've been hearing anecdotes just in the last week that at least with vaccine breakthroughs with the alpha variant B117, it used to be called, many people had very mild infections. They had high cycle threshold, so apparently a low viral load, and then very few symptoms, and it sort of fizzled out after a few days. But then recently, I've been hearing more about breakthroughs that we think are Delta, not yet confirmed, where the cycle threshold or the viral load is much higher. It's in the 15 to 20 range rather than 35 to 40, and that is virus that could easily be transmitted. And then more of these people are having symptoms too. I mean, it's a little, this is anecdotal based on small numbers of cases. But it suggests if a higher amount of virus is being detected, that's a worrisome situation. Whereas as you noted, if it's so sensitive and it's just barely detecting it, that may not be much to worry about.
So I just want to clarify before we go to the next call then. Does it remain the case that we argue, however, that you get less sick if you have been vaccinated?
Yes, so far that's correct. But I think that we need to have a better body of evidence from the Delta variant versus the Alpha variant to see whether is there a higher viral load in people that become infected with this? Does it go up faster? And if so, does it lead to an increased risk of symptoms relative to Alpha or some of the viruses like the Wuhan type virus that we had originally?
All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. We've got Michelle on the line in West Yarmouth. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, and thank you so much for this program, and thanks, doctors, for your time. I really look forward to it every week. My question is about long COVID in vaccinated patients who have had maybe a mild breakthrough case of COVID, presumably Delta variant. Do we know anything about that yet? Is it too soon? And what are the markers? When will we know, and what will we know? What are you looking for with that long COVID?
Dr. Andu, thank you for that question, Michelle. Dr. Andujar Vasquez.
Thank you. It's a great question. The short answer is we don't know yet, right? Because we've been fully vaccinated for a short period of time. I would say the earliest, 6 months or so. Well, clinical trials longer, but it seems there seems to be some evidence that even when you're fully vaccinated, you get infected with COVID-19 after being fully vaccinated, you have mild symptoms or maybe asymptomatic, which are the majority of the cases, that there seems to be less of that long-term effects. So it seems to protect even when you get infected with fully vaccination, but we have more to come on that. It's promising, but I can say that it's absolutely no one will get long COVID if they're fully vaccinated and get infected after, but we'll it's looking good.
And Dr. Andujar Vasquez, I'll stay with you for a second. As long as we're talking about research on breakthrough cases, are you more okay, so you have one person with the same level of Delta illness and a vaccinated person who also has the Delta variant. Is there a difference in your level of contagion to other people? I don't even know if that's a good question, but I think it is.
No, it's good. At a baseline, patients that are fully vaccinated that have breakthrough infections, interestingly, like Dr. Heyman pointed out, I think he did mentioned that they tend to have less viral load in their nose, right? They tend to have less of that virus, which leads us to believe that they seem to be maybe less contagious to other people fully vaccinated because they don't have a lot of it in their nasopharynx. But there's still a lot of research ongoing on that. And then, because of that, we usually sequence to look for variants when there's a lot of virus, right? We need a lot of virus to sequence that variant. And when we are fully vaccinated and then have COVID, majority of the people, at least I've seen, have a low viral load, right? That makes it a little bit more complicated for the state to sequence. So, I think we have still a lot of data to collect on fully vaccinated and unvaccinated Delta variant and how they behave. But it is looking like, when you are fully vaccinated, you seem to be less contagious, but it's not absolute, right? You still are probably able to, but maybe not as much as someone that's unvaccinated and has a lot of virus in their nose.
Okay, before I go back to the phones, I'm going to turn back over to you for a minute, Dr. Hamer. I mentioned earlier, you're at BU. I mentioned earlier BU holds the broadcast license for WBUR. That doesn't impact our editorial decisions. But I do want to ask you, BU is now joining other schools in the area to mandate vaccines for faculty and staff by September 2nd or potentially be placed on leave. We're hearing a lot of questions about the efficacy of vaccines against Delta, just a lot we don't know. What is the thinking here from BU on mandating for faculty and staff?
I think, we started out with a volunteer program trying to get faculty and staff to submit their proof of vaccination or a plan that they would be vaccinated by August or September 1st. And that's moved very slowly. The BU plans to fully reopen in September with, populated offices, fully populated classrooms, although we will have an indoor mask mandate, regardless of vaccination status, as a precaution. I think it proved to be challenging to get people to submit their paperwork. We think a higher proportion of faculty and staff have been vaccinated than have acknowledged that so far. But there's been a sort of a concern that if we don't have enough coverage and we start opening up classrooms and having in-person meetings and so forth, that there could be a risk of transmission if there's enough of an unvaccinated population within on the campus. And many other universities, as you've noted, have followed the same route. There's some level of discomfort forcing people to do something, although there clearly are precedents with other vaccines. But that said, I think it is the right thing to do right now.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. 800-423-8255. Herbert's on the line in Carver. Herbert, go ahead.
Yes, hi. This is Herbert. Want to keep it quick. I'm wearing a mask. I'm fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. And I wear the blue medical masks, and mostly because my wife is recovering at home from surgery, and I don't want to bring something home. But the main question is when you're wearing one of the disposable masks, it doesn't seem like people talk about that you're actually going to be actually picking up if someone has the virus. The mask itself is going to get contaminated with droplets, and should we be just disposing of it every time we use it? We go out for the day, throw it away, and start a new one.
Dr. Andujar Fazquez, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah, so it's tricky with this mask. It depends on which one, but you're absolutely right. A lot of those disposable masks are meant to be disposable, right? You're done with that mask and you throw it out because the idea is, like you said, that it's sort of a trap, right, for those droplets to not go into your nose and mouth. We always advise that when you touch your mask that you perform hand hygiene, and then when you remove that mask, you also perform hand hygiene. If it's disposable and you're able to dispose of it after you're using it, then do so, because it's probably the safest thing to do. And then sometimes if it's not disposable, but it's, for example, a cloth mask, when you take it off at the end of the day, let's say, you should be cleaning that every day, every time you use it, because you not only are trapping those droplets from the outside, right, from other people, but also your own germs, right? So you should be cleaning it as regularly as possible, so you avoid contamination. But always hand hygiene. And when in doubt, you just perform hand hygiene and you can't contaminate yourself.
All right, let's grab one more quick one. We've got Trish on the line in Middleton. Trish, go ahead.
Thank you. I understand from so many of your callers and that if you're fully vaccinated, they're saying you don't need a mask. But I don't feel like they're addressing the issue of young children. And as a grandparent of two kids who are way too young to be vaccinated, aren't they exposing people, especially kids, to COVID if they're not wearing a mask and they do end up being carriers or have no symptoms but do have the virus?
Dr. Hamer.
So, Trish, thanks. That's a great question and a real challenge for families that have younger children. So we're all sort of anxiously waiting for some of the studies to be finished so that we can have approval for pediatric vaccination, at least below the age of 12. You know, I think that you're right. Young children, if they're not wearing a mask and they're out in public places interacting with other children or adults, you know, they have a risk of becoming infected. More often than not, they're going to have a very mild illness or no illness at all, but they still can shed virus and potentially transmit to other children or adults. And so, you know, I think that the guidance, at least for the time being, is for children to wear masks, you know, if they're in places, especially visiting relatives that either haven't been vaccinated or might be very vulnerable. It's a difficult challenge though, because if your parents have been vaccinated, but the children have been vaccinated, parents may want to choose to wear a mask just really to be a role model for their children when they're out in public with other families or in public places. Probably sufficient for an answer. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Thank you though. I appreciate it. And listen, callers, if we didn't get to you this time, you know we're going to do it again, so keep calling on Tuesday for our Ask the Doctors. Dr. Davidson Hamer there, thank you, infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and a professor of infectious diseases and medicine at Boston University School of Medicine, and Dr. Gabriela Andujar-Vasquez, infectious disease physician, associate hospital epidemiologist, and medical director of the COVID-19 vaccine program at Tufts Medical Center. Thank you to both of you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We'll be back.